once a year, typically in the month of November, as pastor of this congregation, I preach on the nature of giving to the Lord. In conjunction with our church-wide stewardship campaign, when I say giving to the Lord, it involves giving your talent and time and a treasure. So today is the day that I speak about our giving to the Lord. First of all, I would say our giving to the Lord is to Him and Jesus Christ first, before it is to the church, or even before it is to help any project. Some of us usually say that, you know, I'm giving to the church. But next time when you say it, think that you are giving to the Lord Himself before it is given to the church. The second point of my message this morning is that our giving must come from our heart. You know that it's not the money issue, it's the heart issue. Okay? Giving must come from your heart. And number three, our giving is determined by our understanding of who Jesus is. And finally, the giving is determined by how much we love the Lord, not by how much we have in our possessions. Let me repeat the points again. The first one is that our giving is to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself first, before it is to the church or before it is to any project. Number two, our giving must come from our heart. Number three, it is determined by our understanding of who Jesus is, and also determined by our love for the Lord, not by how much we have in our possessions. We all know that, right? Now this morning we'll think about our attitude in giving through the story of a woman who gave her heart and gave all she had to the Lord Jesus in worship. I want you to think of the story just Eileen read this morning. Some of us are familiar with this story. I know the story. What's happening in the story? The Bible says that it was the week of the Passover 2,000 years ago, and 2 days before the Passover, but 3 days before Jesus was crucified. He was staying at a house at the time that belonged to a man named Simon the leper. I don't know whether he was still leper when Jesus was there. Very likely, Jesus healed the man. Because lepers in those days, they couldn't stay in their own house. They were quarantined. Okay, so very likely, he was healed by Jesus. Anyway, in that house in a little town called Bethany. Bethany is a small town a couple of miles southeast of Jerusalem. So Jesus, at the time there, and a lady entered the room where Jesus was reclining at the table. Now, most of us nowadays, we sit at the table and eat, right? Straight up. But in those days, reclining means that, you know, use your left arm, forearm, and hold, you know, around, against the ground, and you're laying side this way, and, you know, you eat using your right hand and eat that way. That's the, whenever you read the Bible, reclining at the table. He was doing it with the rest of the 12 disciples in the room. And standing next to Jesus, the lady broke a vial of very expensive perfume made of pure nard and poured the entire bottle over Jesus' head. Now, I need to talk a little bit about the value of the vial that she poured over Jesus' head. It was very expensive in those days. Here's an example. In the first century before Christ, there were two Roman poets, Horace and the other one was Virgil. They were friends to each other, and Horace one day offered to send Virgil a whole barrel of his best wine in exchange for a vial of nard, very small bottle, and that much expensive in those days. Although nard is now rare on the shelves of the Western perfumer, its name itself stood for centuries as an evocation of the perfume of the lost Garden of Eden. Imagine this. Wow, when you smell it, you feel like, wow, I'm back to the Garden of Eden. It smells so good. So that nard, the pure nard, you know, claimed that the thing for centuries. So, when the disciples saw what was happening before their eyes, their jaws dropped. They could not believe their eyes. So immediately, guess what? In silence, complete silence, a clash of convictions took place amongst those people there. An argument followed among those in the room on her act of giving, whether it was a waste or not. Now imagine yourself standing at the corner of that room where Jesus and his disciples were reclining along with the host. And you're looking at it, and if you imagine yourself a cameraman, and you would come to zoom your camera in on certain individuals. First, the lady, the giver. And second, Jesus, the recipient, and the disciples, the onlookers. So let's think about them one by one this morning. Onlookers, the disciples. Why this waste? That was the outcry of Jesus' disciples when they saw the lady doing with a very expensive vial of perfume, which was the worth of a worker's annual wage. You know, it says 300 denarii, means that one denarius in those days is one laborer's wage for a day. So 300 denarii means that today's worth of, you know, $30,000, very expensive perfume. Now, if you think of their expression, why this waste, the literal translation would be, why in the world has this happened? Or total waste. The disciples were really indignant. They were very upset because their conviction was violated. Their conviction deep down in their hearts was this: Jesus doesn't deserve such a devotion and honor. He isn't worth that much. He's our teacher, of course, and he's worthy of our respect, but not this much. Maybe he's worth of a drop or two of the perfume, but not the entire bottle. I see that. And that's why their jaws dropped, and soon they raised their voices and rebuked her. They put her to shame because they didn't approve the way she used her own precious possession. Perhaps they would have had no problem if she had used it for her own dowry in marriage or even for her own burial. However, when it was used for Jesus, they had a big problem and exclaimed, "What a waste! It could have been sold and given to the poor." Don't you think they truly shamed her big time? I think they did. And that's where, thankfully, Jesus comes in, the recipient. "Leave her alone, folks," intervened Jesus. He reminded his disciples and the lady and the host that her giving was not a waste at all. Actually, Jesus continued, "It was a beautiful thing that you did for me today, for my burial ahead of time." By the way, the disciples of Jesus had no clue whatsoever what was coming in 2 days, 3 days. So they were, "Huh? What is he talking about?" Right? And Jesus implied here that the old disciples, a week later, would not be able to embalm their master's dead body. Now come to think of it, Jesus was right, because none of the disciples did have chance to embalm their master's body, because by then he was resurrected. If you remember, three ladies went to Jesus' tomb on the day of resurrection. You know what they were carrying? Same material to embalm Jesus' body. Were they able to use it? No, they were not able to either. Only this lady did. Now, if you only focus on, in the story, on the words such as waste or helping the needy or the poor, you may miss the whole point. Here, Jesus is least concerned about the waste or the best ways to spend one's material possessions. Nor does he discourage us not to help the poor. By the way, he's the one who cares about the poor, so much so that he opened his Sermon on the Mount. There are 8 blessings there, right? "Blessed are those," and it continues. You know the first sentence? "The blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He loved the poor, and he preached, and he proclaimed, you know, the message of the gospel to the poor. Furthermore, when it comes down to waste, he's the one who knows what it means not to waste God's given resources. Remember his feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? What happened? After everyone was well fed, and Jesus commanded his disciples to collect all the leftovers, 12 basketful, so that the food would not go waste. He surely knows what waste is and what is not. In the story, Jesus points out one thing very important to all of us, the lady, to his disciples, and to us, the readers of the Bible. What's the point he's making? Know who Jesus is, the recipient of your giving and devotion. Do you know who Jesus is? Some of us think that he's a good moral teacher, but he's much more than that. Some of us think that he's just a master and a rabbi who deserves respect, much more than that. He is one of the triune God whom we worship and serve, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is equal to God. He is eternal as God. He is the God incarnate. Incarnate means in flesh. So he was God in human flesh. So unlike any other human beings, he is sinless. That's why he has the authority to forgive our sins, yours and mine, and sins in the world. He is our God and Savior, and therefore, that's why he is worthy of our adoration and praise and worship and our best. He deserves our all. And that's what's happening in the room, and that's what's happening in the story. Knowing who Jesus was, the lady gave her heart, her best, and all she had to Jesus. Now let's think about the lady, the giver, this time. To her, nothing was too precious or too costly for Jesus. Nothing was wasted on Jesus because he was her God and her Lord. And that's why she gave her heart and didn't hold anything back from him. Please think with me about the perfume one more time. The scholars believe that there are only two possibilities for the perfume in her possession. Why did she have it? They believe that it was a family heirloom because it was very expensive to buy, so it just goes one after another, kept either for a dowry or for her own burial. But she gave it up for Jesus, didn't she? I must say it was much more than monetary sacrifice. It was the total surrender of her personal plans. When she gave it up, I think she gave up on her marriage plan, maybe. Personal plans and ambitions and aspirations. And that's what happens in true worship. Surrender all to Jesus. And Romans 12:1 says this, present your bodies as living sacrifice, which is your spiritual worship. Jesus is worthy of nothing but the best from us, not a scrap here, not a scrap there, not a divided attention here, and divided attention there. The question for all of us is, do I surrender all to Jesus? Do I give my best to him or just put 1 hour in on Sunday mornings? And the rest of 167 hours a week, I don't think about him. Do I give him all my heart or only a piece of my heart and keep the rest with me? It all depends on who Jesus is to you, isn't it? Now, when you worship the Lord with all your heart and mind, something could happen to you too, like the lady experienced. You may experience sharp criticisms or even angry glances from the onlookers. That's exactly what happened to the lady. And even today, people don't change much and still criticize the true worshipers of Jesus. For example, when you enthusiastically worship the Lord, when you give all yours to Jesus, and there are some people in the church, in worship, may give you a hard time. Why do you make us look so bad? Stop doing that. They even shame you. Remember what really matters, though, in the story. Jesus' praise and his commendation trumps all criticisms of the bystanders. And therefore, folks, do not be afraid to offend people with your love for Jesus. And only focus on pleasing the Lord. Only worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And that's what really counts, and that's what the Lord remembers. And one more thing, and I'll be done. If you stand in the middle of the room, in your imagination, that's what I do, I almost smell the fragrance of that very expensive perfume that permeated the entire house. I'm sure it lingered there for some time. Now think of the lady who must have carried the sweet smell, the fragrance for some time on her own clothes, wherever she went afterwards. People would meet her and would exclaim to her and say, "Whatever happened to you? You smell good today. Where have you been?" And she would reply, "Today I was with Jesus and I gave my heart to him in worship." Did you know that God calls you to be the fragrance of Christ to the world? What smell do you give forth to the people around you? The fragrance or the stink? We are all guilty as charged when people call us, "You hypocrites," in the congregation, in the church. In that case, we become the stink. But once in a while, you run into an individual Christian and you all admire, "I want to be like you." And that's the time when we become the fragrance of Christ. Your being a sweet smell to the world begins with what? With your heart entirely given to Jesus. When you worship the Lord Jesus with all your heart and mind, you will carry the fragrance of Jesus to the world. Folks, let us remember the gift the lady gave to Jesus 2,000 years ago in a small house in Bethany. I believe it was much more than the expensive perfume. Perfume is gone, but the story continues, because that day she gave her heart. It impressed Jesus so much so that, you know what he did? He commanded his disciples. Folks, when you spread the gospel story, be sure to spread whose story? Her story as well. The story of worship and adoration. So I invite all of us to give our hearts to Jesus today and every day in worship. And the best thing, he will remember your devotion. Let's bow our heads and pray. It's such a pleasure, Lord, to discover how much people loved Jesus back then. Oh, we admire those ladies and gentlemen who give their hearts to you, Lord. All in. That's how I see it. There's no half-hearted. There's no, you know, playing both fences. Just in case. Jesus was never an insurance policy to them. They put everything they had in. I'm in, Lord. Oh, that impressed Jesus' heart so much that Jesus wanted to make sure her story would go down in history forever, like the gospel story. Help us, Lord, to be like that woman. Give all we have that begins with our heart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.